Please be seated. Let's just start with a prayer. Wild and unconstrained God, who lavishes love generously on the just and unjust, teach us how to be like Jesus, a friend of outcasts and sinners, those on the margins, the unwanted and unloved. Help us to be a welcoming community, to consider those who are not yet part of our church and who have yet to know your love. Amen. It might help to explain why I was volunteered to do this talk on Inclusive Church. So I need to do a little bit of history with you first, and then I'll talk about what the Bible says about inclusion, and then I'll share a couple of ideas in terms of what I think the implications are for us individually and as a church community. But first, let me just remind you of what Inclusive Church stands for. This is a quote from their website. "We believe in inclusive church, a church which celebrates and affirms every person and does not discriminate. We will continue to challenge the church where it continues to discriminate against people on grounds of disability, economic power, ethnicity, gender, gender identity, learning disability, mental health, neurodiversity, or sexuality. We believe in a church which welcomes and serves all people in the name of Jesus Christ, which is scripturally faithful, which seeks to proclaim the gospel afresh for each generation, and which, in the power of the Holy Spirit, allows all people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Jesus Christ." So a bit of history here. About 2 years ago, I think, I was asked, along with David Chapman, to lead a discussion group on the topic of something called Living in Love and Faith, which is basically the Church of England's views on sexuality, relationships, and marriage. The discussions went well, but at the end, we kind of looked at each other and said, "Well, that was interesting. What do we do about that?" So I suggested that we join Inclusive Church. I first came across them through Richard Lamy, who's the vicar of St. Paul's, just down the road. They're also members of Inclusive Church, by the way, when I was trying to get elected on the General Synod, the Church of England's national decision-making body. And Richard suggested I join Inclusive Church because they would help promote my candidacy around Oxford Diocese during the elections. So to cut a long story short, the group said, "Why don't we present this to the PCC, the leadership team," which I did. And the PCC thought that was a good idea. And then I approached the Inclusive Church folks, and they wisely suggested that they might come here and do a talk and hang around for questions and answers afterwards, which they did. You may remember Ruth Wild, the national coordinator. She came here with her wife and child, gave a talk, answered any questions, so that everybody in the church could get on board and agree to become members. And so that's what happened. And part of the deal is that we do one service a year around this theme of inclusive church. So that's why I think I'm up here right now rather than the decent preachers. Okay, so let's have a look at what the Bible says about inclusion. God loves everyone, no strings attached. My friend Pip Wilson put it much better than that. He said this: "Your life deserves a film premiere at a West End cinema. You are so special and valuable that Jesus has died for you. His love is completely and totally 100% for you. If you became a better person now, if you became a committed Christian today, either or both, God could not love you any more tomorrow." Now, that doesn't strike me as particularly controversial, but when you start to live this out, there is something deeply radical about this. Did you notice the start of our gospel reading today, before we got onto the stories of the lost sheep and the lost coin? This is what it says: By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees were not pleased. They growled. He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like old friends. As we know, Jesus was always being criticized for hanging out with the wrong kind of people. By simply sharing meals with them, he generated serious opposition. But it was exactly those kind of people who picked up on what he said. They listened intently. They hung on his every word. It was to those people that Jesus told the stories of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost or prodigal son, the ones on the outside. And in each of those stories, he makes the point again and again. Something or someone was lost. Somebody went to great lengths to find it again. And boy, once they found it, did they celebrate. Tell your friends and neighbors, have a party, bring out the best food and wine, rejoice. This is a great moment. Did you notice the sense of focus, the sense of obsession almost in these stories? The shepherd just abandons the 99 sheep in the wilderness and goes after the one that is lost. He leaves them to wolves, bears, and goodness knows what wild animals who might eat them for lunch. It's completely reckless behavior. The woman turns her house upside down, causing all sorts of chaos. She forgets about everything else and searches in every nook and cranny until she finds the coin. And as for the lost prodigal son, the father runs out, embraces him, cuts short his speech about what a sinner he is, and tells the servants, "Hey, it's party time." Now for me, these stories proclaim the shocking nature of God's love. God goes out of their way to make people welcome. Nothing is spared. And once found, there is always celebration. There's no raking over the past. No questions about how you got lost. No complaints about how long it has taken to find you or the trouble you've caused. The message is simple. It doesn't matter how poor you are or your physical abilities, or the color of your skin, or your sexual orientation. You are welcome. And if God welcomes you and rejoices over you, who are we to say otherwise? Maybe that's why the people with so-called dodgy reputations listened intently to Jesus. They felt included. This was good news. They were not abandoned on the margins, away from the so-called respectable people. God's love always goes well beyond the limits of respectability. And after all, they were not outcasts. They were just people like you and me. And this isn't just a New Testament thing. Do you remember the time when Jesus preached at the Nazareth synagogue right at the start of his ministry, when they tried to throw him off a cliff afterwards because they were so angry with him? Do you know why? Because he spoke of an inclusive God from the Old Testament. Isn't it a fact, Jesus said, that there were many widows in Israel at the time of Elijah during the 3.5 years of drought, but the only widow to whom Elijah was sent was in Sarepta in Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, but the only one cleansed was Naaman in Syria. God's love cannot be contained. It extends beyond the borders of Israel. Everyone is special, regardless of background, country, or heritage. And that's why the Jewish members of the synagogue got angry. Jesus was declaring that God wasn't just interested in Israel, but in other people and countries too. Not a great message for those who thought being daughters and sons of Abraham gave them special privileges. Declaring God loves everyone is controversial. For Jesus, such talk led to him almost being murdered. Not a great result for your first sermon. And of course, we know how the early church expanded to include Gentiles as well as Jews, much to the amazement and shock of the apostles. That was the scandalous message of the gospel. As we heard in Galatians, in Christ's family, there can be no division into Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female. And maybe today Paul might say between gay and straight. We are all equal because of our common relationship with Jesus Christ. So what? Well, three things strike me. The first thing is it's clear we need more parties with dodgy people, although no one's really dodgy. We need more reasons to celebrate how special we all are in God's economy. However you like to rejoice and celebrate life, make sure you do something this week that celebrates other people in your life. It doesn't have to be expensive, it could just be a small gesture. But let people know that they are loved. Maybe bake a cake, inviting people you wouldn't normally invite round to your house. What have you got to lose? The second thing that strikes me is this whole inclusive stuff is a great leveller. No one is more preferred than anybody else. In the hierarchy of the Church of England, that's quite a good thing to remember. Everyone is important. The Church needs its LGBT plus siblings, including LGBT plus clergy members and the gifts and insights they bring. The Church needs its disabled siblings, who often have gifts we don't recognize because sometimes we might be too focused on their disability. We need those who are poor in our community. They too have gifts and wisdom to offer the Church and are not just recipients of our charity. So treat everyone equally, regardless of money, power, ability, or intellect. And finally, we need to continue to work hard at making All Saints a safe place of welcome for those who feel on the outside. For starters, that means saying hello to people who are here for the first time. If someone has plucked up enough courage to turn up at one of our services, then the least we can do is acknowledge them and find out why they are here. For those of us who've been doing the church thing for too many years, it's easy to forget how weird church can appear to somebody who is new. Maybe some people have been kicked out of their previous church simply for being gay and don't feel the church is a safe place. Those are the kind of people we especially need to welcome. I'm really pleased that disabled access is no longer a big issue, thanks to our Space for All refurbishment. The way our building is set up says a lot about us, even before we say a word. In fact, the Space for All project is a great way of welcoming new people and groups from the community. So let's make the most of this unique opportunity for our church. So thank you. Thank you for being part of the Inclusive Church Network. Thank you for all you do to make this church a place of welcome, a place of safety, and a place of celebration. May God help us to challenge the church where it discriminates and to show the reckless, unconstrained, scandalous love of God to everyone we meet. Amen.